before his death, Kenneth Hagin made a simple but very powerful statement. He said, if you're not receiving from God, there's normally one of three reasons. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, or wrong confession. Now, knowing Brother Hagin, I expected him then to go from that point on and talk about believing. But he didn't. He talked about confession. He said, you know, we're so careful, the words we say in a church environment, but we don't recognize the power in our words out in the marketplace. The Bible says that death and life is in the power of our tongue. Our words are more than just air going over vocal cords producing sounds that somebody can interpret. Our words are containers. They contain life or they contain death. Your mouth can destroy your marriage. Your mouth can build up your marriage. Your mouth can determine the success your children have. Tuesday, I was speaking to 20,000 people in Kansas City at a seminar with Colin Powell and Rudy Giuliani and some people like that, Laura Bush. And I shared about how my son in second grade, they were going to hold him back again because he was at preschool reading level in mid-year second grade. And largely through the words that I spoke to him and changing his self-image, in 90 days' time, he went from preschool to third grade reading level. That's the power that's in our words. So I think if you, how many of you want to have increase? Am I in the right place? I just want to make sure I'm okay. All right. If you want to have increase, you can create an increase environment in the middle of a decrease. And you do it by the words you speak. As you continually confess and talk increase, that's the world that you will live in. So I think we should do that right now. I'd just like you to find three people, shake their hands, look in the eye, and just say, I'm ready for increase. Now, thank you. You can be seated. Before I get started, I want to be sure that you recognize something, because I don't want any of you to disconnect with me right at the beginning. And that is, increase is not a money message. I am known as Dr. Increase. That's my trademark name with the federal government. But that doesn't mean Dr. Moneybags necessarily, because increase is more than money. Increase is about a mindset, and what we're going to talk about today. It's a mindset that recognizes that we are not captive to the belief systems, to the thoughts, and to the habit patterns of the past and the present. But we have personal power and divine power to break those off of our life, and we can grow on the inside, and by growing on the inside, we can change our outside world. Now, that's what the increase message is. And when you that takes a hold of you, it doesn't just affect your finances. It affects every area of your life. Listen to this testimony. Within 6 months' time, my business doubled. Now, there's the finances. But listen to the rest. I got more involved in my church. My marriage has never been happier. My wife and I are acting like two teenagers in love. I've been totally cured of cancer, and I lost 75 pounds. Every area of his life changed. When? When his thinking changed. So I just want to say, it's so great to be back with you again. My first time here was the summer of 1984. And in that time, it was a theater somewhere, right? And I think the entire audience would have been this part of this section right here. That was the church. And now to see this, wow, and your third service. This is increase. Look around you and say, this is increase. Yeah. But it's just so great to be a part of it and see Pastor Joel taking off so great with this ministry. Well, it's just so great to be in a city whose name I can pronounce. You know, just be so thankful, you know, that, you know, Flowood, Jackson, those are such simple names. I was in Miami area. We're driving down to Freeway to go speak at a church, driving down I-95. And I see the sign. I said to my driver, there's our turnoff, Opa-locka. He says, it's not Opa-locka, it's Opa-locka-sha. And the guy in the back seat says, you're both wrong. It's Caribbean, cha-cha-cha, it's Opa-locka-cha. So I'm going to speak in this city, and I don't even know how to pronounce the name of it. But we stopped to get a snack. I had the presence of mind. I called the manager of the restaurant already. I said, sir, I said, I'm confused. I need your help. Very slowly, will you please tell me exactly where am I? He looked at me kind of funny, and he says, Burger King. So I guess that's exactly where I am. Yeah. But speaking of freeways, you know, many of you know that Interstate 195 is the freeway that goes by Chicago O'Hare Airport. Well, not long ago, I was at O'Hare getting my bags out of the car, and this Bentley limo drives up. This lady sticks her head out the back window. It was Oprah. And she turns to me and says, excuse me, sir, can you tell me, how do I get to 195? I thought for a moment. I said, sure, lose 50 pounds. Okay. Oh, moving right along. Pastor D mentioned to you about increase events that we do. We have meetings that are specifically geared for Christian leaders, achievers, business owners. Our next one is going to be in September. It will be in Fort Lauderdale at the Harbor Beach Marriott, beautiful beachfront resort. You say, man, I can't afford it. Well, then you're the one that needs to be there. But we get the rooms at about half price because we take over most of the hotel. But the thing that's unique about it is not just our speakers, such as myself and Miles Monroe and business leaders from around the world, but it's that we're done at 1 o'clock because the real key to our events is the idea exchanging that takes place among the attendees. And we have an early bird registration discount if you want to get information on it. It's available back at the table. Turn, if you would, please, to Numbers, the 13th chapter. While you're turning, I think those of you that heard me speak when I've been here before know that one of my hobbies is collecting unusual newspaper stories. And in fact, in our new book that just came out, PowerPoints for Increase, it features 101 Bible-based success strategies. And it's a great book because every chapter is only 2 pages. So, you know, you can speed read and get through this in a hurry, 2-page chapters. But they're all different PowerPoints from people I've shared the stage with and been around: Colin Powell, Anthony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Rudolph Giuliani, Phil McGraw, you know, Rick Warren, and some of these people. And we share them in a way that you can use them in your life. But the thing that makes them different is each story is introduced with an unusual newspaper story or headline. Well, I came across one a while ago in USA Today, and it says, "Man gets sick siphoning gas." A Seattle man attempted to steal gasoline from a parked motor coach. He got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find the man curled up laying in the street in pain. Apparently, the thief plugged his hose into the side of the motor coach, and by mistake, he began to suck out of the sewage tank. Now, why would I share that with you this morning? Because it illustrates if the input is wrong, the results are going to be wrong. You know, my friend Zig Ziglar, who I've shared the stage with many times, he says, you cannot change your life if you don't change your input, because the output is related to the input. You'll notice when you came in today, we have a product table out there. I am not here to sell you product. If I was in product sales and that was my motivation, I would be strictly in the secular arena. I have sold up to just under $100,000 of product in 1 hour in the secular arena, so I don't need to come here to sell you product. But I am here to change lives. And I recognize that many times that takes more than the 40 minutes that I have with you this morning. Make you aware of a couple of products that might be out there that you're interested in. If you haven't gotten this one, I've been with you before. This is my number one seller, over 1 million audio programs on how to become an increased thinker. This is 11 CDs, MP3 download. And we take you step by step on the process of changing your core belief system so that you instinctively and automatically think increase. And this retails on our website for $159. It's available if you want to get it today for half price, $79. You can even get it on a two-payment plan if you want. Another series that I'd recommend to you is our series, Awakening the Power of Abundance Thinking. This is one of my favorites of anything on the table. It's the story of the fisherman who worked all night and caught nothing, had an encounter with Jesus, and as a result of the changes that he had them make, within 24 hours, they had the greatest increase in their lives. And so what were the strategies that they used, how you can use those strategies? Those are available back there. If you're really serious about change, when I speak in the secular arena, our number one seller is our School of Increase box. Brian, if you wouldn't mind, just bring me that for a second. I won't take time to open it up, but I'll just show it to him. Thank you. The box includes Increase. It includes our series of Secrets of Financial Turnarounds, our seminar on investing, how to know right from wrong investments, our seminar on breaking free from the bondage of debt, our seminar on attitudes of success, our seminar on time increase. Don't ask where I went, tell it where to go, how to increase productivity. It has six different seminars in it. We have some great free material that's on the inside. Probably that's about $700 worth of product. Normally in churches, we sell it for $350. But this year, our president has inspired me to have an economic stimulus package. And so we've marked the price down to $299 or three payments of $99. And so to get that much material right down where the rubber meets the road for that kind of money is just tremendous. Oh, and by the way, if you get the box today, I just spontaneously decided to do this in last service. We have a few of these left. I'll give you my new book. We'll include that with the box, too. So that'll be another bonus that we can give you. Here's Randall, who wrote me and said, when you were here last year, our finances were very tight. When I bought your School of Increase box, my wife almost killed me. But as a result of what I learned and applied, within 1 year, our income went up 400%. I bought the business that I work for, and I now own two homes. His life totally changed when his thinking changed. Have you found number 13? Number 13 is a story that you're all familiar with. But I remember something that Brother Hagin said years ago. He said, you can come up the mountain on a different path and you'll have a different point of view. So we're going to come up the mountain maybe on a different path than some of you have come up with before with this story. It's a story of the tribe of Israel crying out to God because they were in slavery and in bondage and making pyramids in 100-degree heat. And they said, God, please deliver us. He sent Moses. The 10 plagues took place. Pharaoh let them free. Red Sea parted. They had a fire by night and a cloud by day to guide them, manna to feed them. They arrive on the banks of the river. They send in the 12 spies to spy out the land to see, is this really a land of abundance? Is this really a land of increase? And on the 41st day, the 12 spies come back and they give this report beginning in the 27th verse. And the 27th verse is said, and they told him, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In other words, there is a land of increase. There is a land of abundance. There is a land where you can live with more than enough. We've been there. And don't take our word for it. We brought back evidence of it. Look, this is from that land. All 12 of them agreed there was a land of increase. But then, 10 of them disconnected. Because we see in the next verse the word nevertheless. The people that dwell in the land are strong. The cities are walled, the 33rd verse. And we saw giants in the land, and we were grasshoppers in their sight. In other words, there is a land of increase, but it's not for us. Somebody can make money, but not me. Maybe the person has the education. Maybe the person had the breaks. Maybe the person whose father gave him a business. Maybe the person did this or didn't do this wrong or did that. And we got all these reasons why we should be a fan of somebody else's increase rather than experiencing it ourselves. And that's what the 10 did. They said, there is a land of increase. We've been there, but we can't have it. It's for somebody else. But then look what Joshua and Caleb said. They came back and said, wait a minute. Don't listen to them. The God that brought us this far, he would deliver the land into our hands. Ooh, I like that. The God that brought us this far. How many of you had God bring you this far? How many of you had situations where God has taken you through them and he's brought you from something really negative and something bad and he's brought you out of it? He's brought you this far. And what did they say? The God that brought us this far, he can continue to work on our behalf. He can continue to deliver them into our hands. But of course, you know the story. The tribe of Israel chose to believe the 10 spies, and they live their life in the wilderness. Now, we've been trained to think of the wilderness as a negative. As a wilderness is something bad. And in a way, it is, but it all depends on your perspective. If you look at the wilderness compared to the desert of Egypt, the wilderness is an improvement. It sure wasn't 100 degrees. They weren't in slavery. Their food was provided. Their clothes didn't wear out. Man, it was a land of just enough. Great government program. But see, that isn't where God wanted him to be. It was better, but it wasn't all the way. In other words, if they looked back, it was an improvement. If they looked ahead, there was still more to go. And I think sometimes we look at how far we've come rather than where God still wants to take us. And we stop in the middle of the journey rather than continuing the journey. Yes, survival and getting by and having sufficiency is an improvement. But that isn't where he wants us to live. He wants us to cross the river. He wants us to live in the land of more than enough. I was in London, England, the beginning of September. And when I walked out of the hotel, I came across this newspaper, which made me think of my topic that I'm going to share with you today. And that is, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? And here's the paper that I saw. It said, house prices up £91 a day. House prices have risen in value in England up to £91, that's $150 a day, in this past year, according to Britain's biggest mortgage lender. This surge in property prices will reassure millions of homeowners worried about reports suggesting that the housing market faces a dramatic collapse. I mean, that's really something. In the midst of a negative environment that they're going through, home prices averaged an increase of $150 a day. How many of you say that's good news if you have real estate? So then I said, you know, I wonder if the newspaper next to it has anything further on the story. And so I decided to get it. Boy, was I surprised. Here is the newspaper sitting next to this one, same place, same day. Double dip fears for house prices. Mortgage lending dived sharply last month to its second lowest level since records began, sparking renewed fears of a double dip in house prices. Two papers standing side by side with totally opposite headlines. And you know what they're screaming out? Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Now, you say, who cares? See, I maintain that the newspaper that a person would walk up and choose to buy, read, and believe could determine their economic future. Let me say that again. The newspaper that somebody would choose to walk up, buy, read, and believe could determine their economic future. See, if you got this paper says house prices are stable. I better keep my home. Maybe I ought to go out and buy some more property when interest rates are low. If you buy this paper, it says it got bad. It could get worse. I better get rid of whatever I have and take my losses. This one says sell. This one says buy. This one says let go. This one says hang on. Two opposite courses of action based upon what paper you choose to buy, what paper you choose to believe. But afterwards, I pondered. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. Because I realized something. For the average person, they don't choose what paper to get. The choice of what paper they're going to reach for is made before they get there. Let me explain. We, each one of us, tends to buy the products, associate with the people, watch the television channels, and get the newspapers that have stories that agree with what we already believe. So we think we're going to make an objective decision, but we're not, because we are preconditioned in advance on how we're going to react based upon our preconditioned thinking when we arrive at that moment. So people that believe the economy is negative, they're going to reach for the negative one. People that believe the economy is going to be positive, they're going to reach for the positive one, because we tend to reach for the things and the people and the products that agree with the belief system that we already possess. Now, that's not all bad, because it gives us a certain amount of stability in our life. But we want to look for just a couple of minutes the danger of this. And to understand that, you have to understand how the subconscious and conscious mind works. I'm going to come down here for a minute. I'd like to be closer to you, okay? Do I have everything I need? I think so. Okay. They told me on the first two services I had to really watch the time, but this time at this service, it didn't matter if I went 2 or 3 hours. So I thought, no, I'm just kidding. It's critical to understand how the human mind works, because if you don't understand how it operates, it's almost impossible to understand how to change. You have two separate operating systems in the mind. You have one operating system that is in charge of collecting data. That's called the conscious mind. It gets input from your eyes, from your senses, from your ears, whatever, and it processes that. And it processes that and it reaches conclusions, it compares, it analyzes, and it reaches decisions. And when it comes to a decision in any given area, whatever it might be, it passes that conclusion to the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind is a totally different operating system. The subconscious mind has one function and one function only. The subconscious mind instinctively reacts without thought to whatever truth or information was given to it by the subconscious mind. It can't compare, it can't analyze, it does nothing other than react. That's what it's geared for. And we're set up that way for this reason. It enables us to become incredible decision makers. Because, see, while we're thinking about one thing, all these other things can be happening that we don't have to give thought to. You can be driving down the street, talking on the cell phone, the light turns red, you don't have to stop the conversation, say, wait a minute, the light turned red, I got to decide what to do. Because you've already told the subconscious mind how to react when it sees a red light, it'll see it, it'll react, it'll do it, and you won't even think about it, and you'll be stopping the car. And that happens in every area of life. In fact, it is so tremendous the way we operate that 90% of the decisions we make every day, we don't think about. That's pretty powerful. 90% of the decisions you made yesterday, you didn't think about. They were automatic reactions to information that you previously had analyzed, come to a conclusion on, passed it down to the subconscious, and the subconscious was now making the decisions for you. Well, that's not exactly an accurate statement. Because we like to think that we compared and we analyzed, came to a conclusion, and passed that decision down, and now the subconscious is automatically reacting. But not everything in our belief system we thought about. Studies show that approximately 50% of the average person's belief system is in place by the time they're 5 years of age. Let me say that again. Approximately 50% of a person's belief system is in place by 5 years of age. Why is that important to know? Because it tells you where many of your beliefs come from. How many five-year-olds decide, okay, let's see, what is the Republican platform? What is the Democrat platform? What way do I want to vote? No. They absorb a lot of it from their family, from their neighborhood, from the school, from the media. And it becomes part of their belief system, and now they're going through their life, making decisions on buying, making decisions on thinking, making decisions how they react to things, solely based upon information that was given by somebody else that is now operating in their belief system. And you know what the tragedy is? If you're not aware of that, you could go through your life wrongly reacting to stimuli. Going through your life wanting to have increase in the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind working against you because it's been misprogrammed by past experiences or by information from other people. Let me give you an example. Up until 2 years ago, all my life I used Crest toothpaste. Do we have anybody here that uses Crest toothpaste? I'm just kidding. Crest toothpaste? Okay. All right. So all my life I've used Crest toothpaste. 2 years ago, I was at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Bellevue, Washington, and my Crest toothpaste ran out. So I'm thinking, oh, no, now I'll just have to use water. But then I said, oh, look, they had a free toothpaste that they gave at the hotel with their amenity package. But it wasn't Crest toothpaste. It was a different brand. It was Aquafresh. I was hesitant to use it. I'd never used Aquafresh. I only used Crest. Would this kill me? Because we're always resistant to something new. So I had to read it to get confidence. So I read it. Extreme Clean. That sounds good. Microactive foaming action. Oh, that sounds okay. Whitening action. Oh, I think I'll try it. So I tried it. It was good. And I got to thinking, maybe Crest isn't the best toothpaste after all. Maybe there's some other toothpaste that's just as good. But here's the key. I asked myself, why have I used Crest all my life? When I go to a store, I didn't say, find the toothpaste that's on sale. Find the toothpaste that has a coupon. I just looked for the Crest or told my executive assistant to pick me up Crest. And then I figured out why. My mother used Crest. And my mother told me that Crest was the best toothpaste. And so I use Crest toothpaste up until 2 years ago. I still use it. I mean, it's not that I got rid of it, but it's not. I'm not tied to it. But I thought, is how many things are we doing that way? That without thought, some father or some mother or some teacher or somebody told us what they believed was truth at that time or they believed was best. How many of you know toothpaste could have improved in 40 years? How many know Crest could have been the best 40 years ago, but maybe isn't the best anymore? But see, we go through life and we just keep getting the Crest and ignoring the other when maybe things have changed and maybe we need to change with it. See, the problem is we become preconditioned. We lose the ability to be objective. Let me give you an example of that. This lady right here, would you mind if I use you as an example for just a moment? Is that okay? Would you mind standing? And your name? That's a beautiful dress, Tracy. Thank you. I wanted to see her, that beautiful outfit and that smile. Isn't that nice? Yes. But Tracy, I picked you not just because of that beautiful green dress that you have on and that smile, but I just love the color green. Isn't that a beautiful lime green dress? Yeah. You kind of laughing. You don't think it's green? What color do you think it is?
White.
You think it's white. See, I think it's green. And you could argue with me. You could yell at me. You could ask her, and she could agree with you it's white. As long as I'm seeing green, it's going to be green to me. See, and that's what preconditioning does. See, we go through life not seeing things the way they are. We go through life seeing things the way we are. And the only way we're going to be able to change our life is we have to change our glasses, and then we see, ooh, it's white. Thank you, Tracy, for your helping me. You can pick up any DVD free on the table, okay? But that's what I'm talking about today, preconditioning. When I did the seminar, those of you who were with us when we did that Sunday night seminar. Oh, by the way, we're doing one tonight, 6:30. I forgot to announce it. Tonight we're going to have a seminar. We're going to have you out here by around 8, so it's not going to go long. But we're going to teach you some strategies of what you can do in the next 30 days to cause increase to happen in your life. See, it's one thing to say, well, I want to have it. It's another thing to say, I believe I'm going to have it. It's another thing to know what to do. So it's going to be a real practical thing tonight at 6:30. All right, so where was I? Oh, last time when I was here, I gave you an example of this. How preconditioning thinking can change our reactions. And to those of you here, you remember I shared the story, true story. An elderly lady heard that there were carjackings and robberies taking place in her neighborhood. So she became preconditioned to believe that this could happen. So as a result of that, she said, I got to get prepared for it. In Texas, you're allowed to carry a concealed weapon handgun in your purse if you've gotten a permit from the police, don't have a criminal record, and have taken a course. So she went and took the course, and she got the permit. So she's carrying a gun around in her purse. And wouldn't you know it, one day she's carrying a bag of groceries out to the car. She walks out to her car, and wouldn't you guess what she sees? 4 young men in her car. She immediately thought, carjacking. I'm ready for this. She goes and puts her groceries down. She takes her gun out of the purse. She goes up to the car and she says, you 4, out of the car right now. Those 4 guys saw that gun and they ran. She then went and got the groceries, put them in the back seat, sat down in the car, sticks the key in the ignition. The key wouldn't work. She wiggles the steering wheel, can't figure out what's going on. And frustrated, she gets out of the car, and she looks, and 5 parking places away, the same make, model, and color of car. It wasn't her car. But because she was preconditioned to think something was happening, that's the way she reacted. Oh, by the way, the guys weren't any better. She said, you know, I should probably report this to the police. So she goes down to the local police station, and when she walks in the door, guess what she finds? Four young men filling out a police report about an elderly lady with a gun trying to steal their car. Each person reacting wrong. Why? Because they were preconditioned to think a certain way. And preconditioning was something Jesus had to deal with. You can find it throughout the Bible. A good example is John, the 11th chapter. It said that Jesus came to the tomb where Lazarus had been dead 3 days already. That already put the stone over the grave. And he said, take the stone away. And he called forth Lazarus. And Lazarus, who was dead 3 days, came forth. And it said, all the people began to praise and thank God for that miracle. It doesn't say that. Many of the people began to praise and thank God for the miracle. There were some that didn't. The religious leaders were preconditioned to reject Jesus. So how did they react when they saw a miracle of a dead man coming to life? John 11 said, from that day on, they plotted how they could kill Jesus. Because they were preconditioned to think a certain way, it blinded him from reality of what was really happening. That is the power of preconditioned thinking. But see, it's not just a matter of preconditioned thinking of Crest toothpaste or Ford pickup trucks or some individual thing. We're preconditioned with the platform that we operate with life or how we view life in general. Have you ever been around anybody that's always negative? Anybody been around a negative person? Anybody have somebody you could say negative? Yeah. Then it doesn't matter what they see or where they go. They can tell you what's wrong with it. They become a specialist. They think they're important if they can tell you a negative thing or find something wrong. They get their importance by seeing how much isn't there. But, you know, and then you have you ever been around people that are positive, happy, joyous? You just like to be around them. See, they're preconditioned to see good or preconditioned to see bad. I come from a religious background where there were people that were preconditioned to see life as good or evil. Anything that happened, they tried to say good or evil. They tried to get rid of the middle. Everything has to be black or white. So there's nothing in the middle. So in that religious background, I was not permitted to dance because dance was considered bad. It didn't matter, not just ballroom dance, any kind of dance. I couldn't even square dance. I couldn't even dance up for a touchdown, because dancing was considered bad. Everything had to be black or white. I couldn't go to a movie. I don't care if it was a movie about Jesus, because if it was in a theater, I couldn't walk in the door, because that is bad. Everything was black or white. And that was the platform that they operated on, the way they viewed life. I have some people that they're just plain old chintzy. It doesn't matter. See, being cheap and chintzy isn't a matter of having money or not having money. It's how you view life. You could be a millionaire and be a chintzy cheap. How many of you know that? You know, I have a friend of mine. He's worth $20 to $30 million. Out of the last 100 times we've been out to eat, I've paid 98 times. And the 2 times he paid was Bojangles drive-thru. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy's worth $20 to $30 million. We were at a luau in Hawaii. His wife decided to come at the last minute. She shows up about one-third of the way through the luau. And we said, oh, well, how did you get here? By taxi cab? Oh, no, he would never let me do that. I had to go take a bus. Worth $20 to $30 million. Why? Because the platform he operated on, he never changed. It was that chintzy, cheap platform that maybe worked for him when he didn't have money, but why not change it when you do have money? Or I have people that are scarcity mindset. I deal with a lot of people that they're just fixed pie thinkers. They think, oh my goodness, I can't have abundance because if I have more, somebody else will have less. And then I'll feel guilty because somebody else has less. And then there'll be people around you to make you feel guilty because you have less too. You know, you try getting more. The first thing you're going to hear is, oh my goodness, how are you going to feed the poor and the needy and the people that I don't have enough food? And they try to use that guilt because they're fixed pie thinkers. But see, life is not a fixed pie. Life is, God makes the pie bigger. When you become an abundance thinker, the pie gets bigger for everybody. If I have more, it doesn't mean I'm taking from others. It means I can bless others to a greater degree. I can make a greater difference in the lives of other people. And that's the key. And so it's not just the individual things of toothpaste and cars, and it's the platform that we operate on. So let's bring this ship home. What is this all about this morning? It's about me challenging you to do something that could change the future of your life. And that is this. Examine some of the ways you instinctively react. Look at them. If you get upset, or if you pull back from something, or if you're feeling uncomfortable about something, and ask yourself, is this a valid feeling? Does this feeling really go along with the way I think and the way I believe my future is? Or is this something that needs to be broken? See, you will continue with the thought patterns you've had in the past until there's an interruption. And you can create the interruption. And when you create the interruption, you can begin to experience a new level of increase and success greater than ever before. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world's thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My friend Miles Monroe talks about it, and he says, God's number one problem on earth is people. People that have deliberate spirits, but the same old thinking. Without a change of thinking, we merely find a new place where we keep doing the same old thing. So what I'm saying to you today is stop trying to find a new place where you keep doing the same old thing. Let's find a new place where we do something new. Let's find a new place where we bring increase in. I believe that this year can be a year of breakthroughs and an increase for you. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy. I can't tell you what the economy is going to do, but I can tell you what you can do. Because if you're thinking right and you're believing right, God can tie you up to one person. He can give you one idea. He can give you one product, and it can change your life. God can surround you with a spirit of favor, and all of a sudden you're the one chosen, even if you're not the lowest bidder. Because God can bring increase into your life that way. So I just challenge you. Make this a year of breakthroughs. Make this a year of increase for you. How many are willing to do that? How many today can think of something in your life that you're going to change this week or begin the process of change that can bring increase in your life? Can you think of some? All right, let's say this prayer together. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for your word. And your word clearly shows you want me to increase. So I make a decision today. I am going to interrupt the patterns of the past that have hindered me from the abundance and the increase that you want in my life. And I'm going to thank you and praise you for the increase that's coming into my life. And I do that now. And I say, thank you, Lord, for increase coming to my life. Now praise and thank him for that. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah.